Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Kuf Lamed Bet Amud Aleph by the two dots. The Gemara had concluded with discussing the sources for Rabbi Eliezer's position that Machshirei Mitzvah are Dochim Et HaShabbat. The last one that we left off with was Milah. Where did Rabbi Eliezer know that Machshirei Milah are Dochim Et HaShabbat? The Gemara concluded, V'yom HaShmini Imol B'sar Lato V'afilu B'Shabbat. Now the Gemara moves on and says, Agan no pligi Rabbanan Alei Ela B'Machshirei Milah. Rabbanan only argue on Rabbi Eliezer with regards to Machshirei Milah that they are not Doche Shabbat. Aval Milah Gufa, when it comes to Milah itself, Divrei HaKol Doche Shabbat. Everybody agrees that Milah is Doche Shabbat. Minolan, where do we know this from? Where do we have a source for the fact that Milah is Doche Ata Shabbat? So Amar Ula, there is no source. Halacha, it's simply Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. It's an oral tradition from Moshe, from Sinai, that Milah is Doche Ata Shabbat. Chen Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Halacha. And we similarly find from Rabbi Yitzchak that he thinks that it's Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai that Milah is Doche Ata Shabbat. The Gemara now is going to go on an adventure through the remainder of the daf, looking at different perspectives or options for Milah Doche Ata Shabbat. Here we had the first one, which was Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. And now we're going to have different alternatives that are going to be offered, and the Gemara is going to test each of those alternatives. Just quickly, in terms of Milah, Milah actually falls into three different categories. So we call Milat Katan. Milat Katan is a Milah of a young child on the eighth day, proper time for Milah. There's a Milah Vagadol, which is a Milah after the person's reached the age of Bar Mitzvah. And the Gemara uses a term called Milah Benonit. It's a Milah of a child over the age of 8 days, but below the age of 13, before they become a Gadol. It's called the Milah Benonit. So the Gemara is going to separate or look at each one of these independently to figure out when they are Doche Shabbat or if they are Doche Et HaShabbat. That's one thing we need to know. The thing we need to know is with regards to Tzarat. When it comes to Nega'im that a person has on their body, there's a restriction against removing a Nega from one's body. The Torah says, Yishamayar B'Nega Tzarat. Be careful. Don't remove the Tzarat from your body. And that's a lotase that you may not remove Tzarat from your body. In the Parshot of Mitzora, Torah actually repeats the Parsha twice. It's one Parsha for an Ashir, and then one Parsha for a Dal, for a poor person, because the Karmanot are different between an Ashir and an Ani, and therefore the Torah separates them into two Parshiot, and does a complete repetition of the Parsha. Since it does a complete repetition of the Parsha, many times the Mara goes to the Parsha for extraneous words, or for limudim, because Parsha was repeated identically. Now the Gemara says, Meitve, Minayin lepikuach nefesh shedoche et haShabbat. How do we know that pikuach nefesh overrides Shabbat? Elazar ben Azayir omer, ma mila shiachat me'evarav shel adam docha et haShabbat. Mila is docha et haShabbat, and that's talking about one limb of an individual. Kal v'chomer lepikuach nefesh shedoche et haShabbat. Certainly pikuach nefesh, which involves the entire body of the individual, that should be docha et haShabbat. V'yisal kadatcha, if that is the limud for pikuach nefesh that we're bringing from the Tosefta, that doesn't make so much sense, because you're saying to me that the source for Milah Doche Et HaShabbat is a halacha. Halacha is halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. Kal v'chomer mihalacha miati. You can't apply logical arguments to halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. Rashi formulates it, Lo nitna Torah shebal peh lidaresh b'yud gimel midot. The yud gimel midot that we say in Rabbi Shmuel every morning, that is a methodology for looking at Torah shebichtav. That's the way to interpret Torah shebichtav. That's not a way to interpret Torah shebe'al peh. And halacha LeMoshe MiSinai is included in the Torah shebe'al peh. Or the other way to say it is that halacha LeMoshe MiSinai is exceptional. The fact that it's halacha LeMoshe MiSinai means that it's not your regular path of halacha, regular path of a din. Therefore, you can't apply the regular rules to it. It's an exception to the rule. It's in its own world. It's in its own world. You then can't apply logical arguments to say, oh, if it's true here, it'll be true somewhere else. The Gemara here is rejecting the understanding or possibility that it's halacha LeMoshe MiSinai, because we have a Tosefta that tries to learn from Milah to Pikuach Nefesh. You can only learn from Milah to Pikuach Nefesh if I have a limud in the Torah for Milah, and then I try to extend it logically. I can't do that if it's based on halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. No, because that's within the world of Torah Shebichtav. Because the Yeshava makes it as if it's written in that location, and then I can extend it logically from that location.
What's the
Kavah Chomer is that if I have a mitzvah to take care of one Aver, which is the Milah, and into Tochei Shabbat. I have a mitzvah to take care of my life, v'chai b'hem, to take care of my health. So that mitzvah that involves all my evarim should also be Tochei to Shabbat. I have two mitzvah, one mitzvah that deals with a single aver, and I have another mitzvah that deals with my whole body. So if the mitzvah about my aver is Tochei to Shabbat, then certainly the mitzvah to take care of my entire body is Dochat Shabbat. You could argue, and the Gemara is going to do this a number of times, that maybe the mitzvah of Milah is different, which is what you're suggesting. Maybe Milah is a unique type of mitzvah, and maybe you can't extrapolate from it. There are ways to undermine the Kav Chomer in the end. This is just a Tosefta that makes a suggestion. We're not going to do these today, but there are the Limudim in the Gemara and Yoma. The Gemara spends a lot of time. There are numerous Limudim as to why Pikuach Nefesh is Dochat Shabbat. Mura says, Va'atanyo, and how can I prove to you that we do not make logical arguments on top of Halach Lamon Shemi Sinai? Because, Amar lo, Rabbi Lazar Akiva, meaning Rabbi Akiva, Etzim Kisse Ora Mitamei Halacha. The reason that an Etzim Kisse Ora makes a Nazir Tamei and causes a problem for a Nazir is Halacha Lamon Shemi Sinai. Revi Adam Kal V'Chomer, and you want to learn out from Etzim Kisse Ora to Revi Adam, in a Kal V'Chomer through a logical argument. Vein danim Kal V'Chomer me'alacha. You may not learn a logical argument out of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Etzem Kisse Ora is a bone of a niftar v'ktever that is the size of a soraz of barley seed. That etzem can be mitameh b'maga u'b'masa. If you come into contact with it, if you carry it or move it, then the person becomes tameh tumat tameit. Revi'at adam, which is revi'at alug of dam, is not only mitameh b'maga u'masa, it's also mitameh b'ohel. Not only does it have the same tumot that etzem kisora has, it has an additional tumah, which is that if it's found inside of a house or an ohel, it's mitameh everything in the house. So it's clear that revi adam is more chamur than etzem kisse ora. And we know by etzem kisse ora that it undermines the count of the nazir. The nazir comes into contact with the etzem kisse ora, he will lose his count, he has to be mitayar himself, and has to restart his nazirut. So Rekiva says it's an extension, it should be logical. If etzem kisse ora undermines the nizirut, then certainly revi'at hadam should undermine the nizirut. Rabbi Elazar rejects this limud of Rabbi Akiva because it says etzem kisse ora, that it ruins the nizirut, is not explicit from the psukim. That's halacha l'moshe misinai. So halacha l'moshe misinai, you cannot then overlay on halacha l'moshe misinai a kal v'chomer, a logical argument. That's not allowed. Here the Gemara proves the point that it's making, that if the Tosefta is trying to make a kal v'chomer from Mila, it's clear that they don't think Mila is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, because you cannot apply a Kal V'Chomer to a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So now the Gemara has to say, Ela Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar gives an alternative. Atya Ot Ot, that the Limud is actually Ot Ot, meaning that by Mila it's written Ot, and by Shabbat it's written Ot. And therefore, the Ot of Mila overrides the Ot of Shabbat. As we know by Shabbat, it says, Yisrael, Oti Olam. So that Oti is written by Shabbat, in Pashat Kitisa. And Mila, it says, Vaya la Ot Brit. So Ot Ot, come and say that it's Doche Shabbat. It says, Lameata, Tfilin Diftibhen Ot, Vayula Ot Al Yadchem, that it should be an Ot on your arm. So that should also be Litche Shabbat. Tfilin should be Doche Shabbat. Not in the literal sense like Milah, which is Doche Shabbat, but one should then wear tefillin on Shabbat. Ella, give another alternative. Atya Brit Brit. It says Brit by Milah, and it says Brit by Shabbat, and therefore the Milah will be Doche to Shabbat, because you have by Shabbat it says the Dorotam Brit Olam, and by Milah it says Et Briti Hefar, that if someone does not have a Milah, Et Briti Hefar, so Brit Brit teaches me that. So Mar says, Godol Dichtibe Brit, and this is what I noted to you before, that there's a difference between Milah to different individuals. How do I know that this Brit is talking about a Gadol? Because it says, Et Briti Efar, therefore he'll be punished with Karet. The only person punished with Karet is a Gadol. The word Brit appears in a situation where we clearly are talking about a Gadol. So maybe only a Gadol would be Dochet Shabbat, not any other form of Brit Milah. Ela Atya Dorot Dorot. Elgar says, alright, we'll use Dorot Dorot. Because by Shabbat it says the Dorotam Brit Olam, and by Milat Katan it says, Uben Shmonat Yamim Yimolachem Kozachar Lidorotechem. So if Dorot Dorot has a Xereshova, Tzitzit, Dichtib Be Dorot, Lidche Shabbat. Well, we have Tzitzit that also has the term Dorot used by it. So maybe that should be Doche Shabbat. El Amar of Nachman by Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Yitzchak solves the problem and says, Tanim Ot Brit Vid Dorot. I have all three of them. If I take all three of them together, then I can eliminate anything else. Because Shabbat and Milah are only two that have all three of these terminologies that are used by them, of Ot, Brit, and Dorot. The Fuket Hanach, that includes all the others, Dachad Chad Hu Dichtiv Ben. They only have one of these three. They don't have all three of them. That's the alternative limud that we have, which is Rav Yitzchak. We started out with Ula, who suggests it's Alacha L'Moshe Misinai. We now move to an alternative version, which is Rav Nachman Yitzchak says Milas Docha Shabbat because of Brit, Dorot, and Ot. So those three together will tell you this. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan gives another option, which is Amar Kra, Bayom, Afilu B'Shabbat. Because it could have written, Bishminoi Imo B'Sar Alato. Instead it says, Uvayom Hashmini Imo B'Sar Alato. That extra Bayom comes to teach you Milaz Dochata Shabbat. Now that works well according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer, we just saw before in the end of yesterday's daf, uses Uvayom Hashmini Imo B'Sar Alato to teach you that Makshrei Milar Dochata Shabbat. So there, clearly, that can't be the limud for Rabbi Eliezer. Rashi himself said earlier, and says it again here, that obviously he believes that it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that Milah is Dochat HaShabbat. And as far as the Kal V'chomer from the Tosefta, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't have to subscribe to that Tosefta. We can say the Chachamim are the authors of that Tosefta. And Rabbi Eliezer learns Pikuach Nefesh from some other methodology. As long as we have one Tana that says that it's not Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, then we're fine, because that Tana could be the author of the Tosefta. So Rabbi Eliezer clearly does not have this limud that Rabbi Yochanan says. This limud is only for the Chachamim. Amalei Reish Lokis, Rabbi Yochanan, Amayata, Mechusarei Kapara. Anybody who is a Mechusar Kapara, Dichtibu Bayom, Hachanami Didachu Shabbat. All the Mechusarei Kapara bring their Korban on Bayom Hashmini, on the eighth day. These are certain forms of Tuma, like Mitzora, Zav, Zava, that have 7 days of Tahara that they require. At the end of the seventh day, they become Tahor, but then they have to bring Korbanot on the eighth day. Period of time between when they have gone to the mikveh and the sun set on the seventh day, and they bring their Korbanot on the eighth day, they're called Mechusarei Kapara. They're missing their Kapara, the Kapara being the Korbanot that they bring on the eighth day. When they bring the Korbanot on the day, each time it says they're Uvayom Hashmini. So if you're telling me Bayom is the factor that makes it Dochet HaShabbat, then why don't we say Mechusei Kapara, all their Karbanot should be Dochet HaShabbat. It says, Omi Bailei Bayom Velo Balayla. I need that to teach you by Mechusei Kapara, they can't bring their Korbanot at night. You would have thought after the seventh day, they're Tahor at sunset. So maybe at night of the eighth, they should be able to bring their Korbanot. It says Bayom, they can only bring their Korbanot the next morning, the next day. So Gemara says, if that's the case, Hainami Mi Bailei Bayom Velo Balayla. You have that same problem about Brit Milah. How do you know you can only do a Brit Milah during the day and not at night? Because it says, Uvayom Hashmini Imol Basar Lato, that uses up Ubayom. It says, no, Aw mi ben shmonat yamim nafka. We also have the fact that it says, mi ben shmonat meyamim, from the eighth day, that is when you have a Brit Milah. So the word Yamim will teach us daytime, and then Yom will be extraneous to teach us that it's Doche et Shabbat. Hainami mi biyom tzavoto nafka. Why by Mechusrei Kapara do you need a separate limud? We have a general limud by Kodoshim. By Kodoshim it says Beyom Tzavoto, which is a generic pasuk about all karbanot that are brought in the Mishkan, that they are brought during the daytime. So why should Mechusrei Kapara be an exception to the rule? If all Kodoshim come in during the day, and all karbanot are brought during the day, the Mechusrei Kapara should not be an exception to the rule. So then we're back to square one, which is that we have Yom extraneous by Milah, but we also have it extraneous by Mechusrei Kapara. If that's the case, then Mechusrei Kapara should be Dochet HaShabbat. Afgav de nafka b'yom tzavato. Even though we learn out the fact that Kodeshim have to be brought during the day because of Yom Tzavato, it's tricha. We still need an extra Bayom by Mechusrei Kapara. Salka dat chamina ho v'chas rachman alei letuye bidalut. This is what I told you before, by the parsha of Mitzvah. There are two parshiot of karbanot. There's a parsha of karban for the ashir. It's a parsha of karban for the dal, for the poor person. So we know the Torah had mercy on the poor person and gave him a dispensation to bring a korban that is less than the quote-unquote normal korban that an ashir would bring. So if that's the case, maybe when we gave him that dispensation to bring when he's poor, we also waived the halacha that has to be brought during the day. Because davar yatzam min haklal, once you take something out of its general category, maybe it's totally taken out of the category, and here you'll be able to bring it at night, Nami. So maybe I can bring it at night, Kamash Milan, that the Bayom teaches me only on the daytime can bring it, even when it's Mechusrei Kapara, even when it's bidalut, even when a poor person is bringing it. Matkifla ravino elamihata. Hey zar kasher behem. Veonein kasher behem. If that's the case, then why don't we say, if you want to change the dynamic over here, maybe you could suggest that these individuals would also be fine. A zar could do the avoda, onein could do the avoda for them. Because if you're telling me that the korban mitzorah of the dal, of the poor person, now got moved categorically out of the world of kodashim, and I now need a specific limud to bring it back into the world of kodashim to tell you that only during the day and not night, maybe the same thing by kohen. Who says you need a kosher kohen to do the avoda by mitzorani? Maybe you can have a zar, who's not a kohen, do it. Maybe you can have a onein. Kohen onein is someone who has one of the seven relatives that they are chayav litabela and pass away before they are buried. That day, they're considered to be an onein. An onein is pasul le'avoda in the mikdash. Because by the kohen gadol, it says that he may not leave the mikdash, and his avoda is not mechulal. The implications from that are that a regular kohen must leave the mikdash, and his avoda is mechulal. But maybe in this case, we should waive all requirements. You're telling me that the mitzara ani doesn't have the regular requirements of kodeshim, then why do you need a kohen? Why do you need even a kohen that is kasher in other places? Where it says, ha-hadre kra, the pasuk brought it back in. Once the pasuk brought it back in, it brought it back into the world of karbanot. The word of yom tells me that now it has the regular din of kodeshim. This dal, this poor person who has a separate category within Mitzorah, even though we moved them to that set of category, the word Bayom teaches me that it's not different than regular Kodeshim. So once the word Bayom brings them back into the world of Kodeshim, now everything is similar to what Kodeshim were before. So I had a Havamina that it should be outside the world of Kodeshim, because it has an unusual dispensation not to give the regular Korban. I had the word Bayom to tell me, no, it has all the regular rules of Kodeshim. Once it has the regular rules of Kodeshim, that includes no Zar, no Onein, all the regular rules that apply to any other Kodeshim. Now, we've solved that problem. Now the Gemara says, there's another alternative. Amar Kra, Shmini, Shmini, Afilu B'Shabbat. Kra, Shmini, Shmini, Afilu B'Shabbat. It says on the eighth day, even if it falls down on Shabbat. Meaning that when it says it's done on the eighth day, it's the eighth day, irrespective of what day the eighth day is. That could include Shabbat. Where it says, I Shmini, Mi Baile, the Mute Shvi. Right, that Shmini comes to teach me that you can only do Milah from the eighth day and on, and not before the eighth day. So that Shmini is not extra for limud. Where it says, Shvi'i mi ben shmonat yamim nafka. Right, we already have ben shmonat yamim, and it says, uva yom ha-shmini. So the word Shmini is mentioned twice. So one Shmini teaches me eighth day and onward. The other Shmini teaches me the eighth day no matter what, including Shabbat. Where it says, v'katam mi baile. The one comes to teach you that Shmini is the day, not before Shmini. But there's also another limud there, which is it's the eighth day and not the ninth day. The mitzvah of Milah is on the eighth day. If you didn't do it on the eighth day, then you do have to do it on the ninth day. But that is not called Milah Bizmana. The Zmana Milah is 8 and 8 only. So one 8 teaches me 8 and not before 8. The other 8 teaches me 8 and not after 8. Because 8 is the only day when you can do Milah. Dimichat, if I only had one Shmini written, Havamina Shviu Dulo Mata Zimne. The only Shvi is excluded because the time hasn't come yet. Avo Mishmini Ve'elek Zimneu. From the 8th day and onward, that's considered the Zman of Milah. Elamechavarto Kirdi Rabbi Yochanan. Makes more sense like Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan's Limud from the word Bayom and not from the word Shmini. This is our first rejection of Rav Achar Bar Yaakov's attempt through Shmini. We rejected that. Tanya Kavati the Rabbi Yochanan. We have a brayta that supports Rabbi Yochanan's understanding. Udaloki Rav Achar by Yaakov. That is not like Rav Achar by Yaakov. Tosafot adds, Ugdalo Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. And also like Rav Achar by Yitzchok, who says it comes from Ot, Brit, and Dorot. This brayta is also not supportive of that position. Because it says, Shmini Yimo, Afilo B'Shabbat. It says, Shmini, that I give a Brit even on Shabbat. Uma ani mikayem mechalalea mot yumat. So what do I do with the pasuk on Shabbat that says that person who violates the Shabbat is punishable by death? B'shar melachot, chutz mimila. That's anything besides the mitzvah of Mila. Oeinu ela, afilu mila. Maybe Mechalela Motimat says that even if you perform a mila, it's problematic. Umani mekayim shmini imo. So then what do I do with the pasuk that on the eighth day gets a brit? Chutz mi Shabbat. Excluding Shabbat. So how do I know which way to go here? I have a pasuk that says you cannot do melacha on Shabbat. I have a pasuk that says you give a brit mila on the eighth day. One of the two has to trump here. Which one is it? Is it Milah that trumps and we do it on the eighth day, irrespective of Mechalel Mot Yumat, or the other way around? We say Mechalel Mot Yumat despite the obligation to do it on the eighth day. Tamalomar Bayom Afilo Bishabbat. On the day, even Shabbat, that is the limud of Rabbi Yochanan. It says, Ubayom Ashmini Mo Basar Lato, that Bayom is extraneous, and from that Bayom he learns out that it's Doche Eta Shabbat. I'm a Rabba. Rabba now wants to investigate and understand this brayta that we brought down. It had a Havam in it. First said, Milah is Doche Shabbat. Then it retracts and says, no, maybe Shabbat overrides Milah. And then it comes to the final conclusion that Ubayom tells us that Milah is Dochat HaShabbat. What were the stages of thought processes that went through this Braita? When he first thought yes, then he thought no, and then he has a limud from the Pasuk. So Rava wants to understand it. Haikana mikara maikana ikhalei, ulusov maikakashalei. In the first step, where he found it fine to say that Milah was Dochat HaShabbat, what did he think? And then after that, when he said no, maybe Shabbat is overrides Milah, what was he thinking? Hachi kamar, this is what he meant. Shmini imo afilu b'Shabbat. So it says elite. I do the milah, even if it's Shabbat. Umani mikayem mechalei omot yumaat. So what am I going to do with the pasuk by Shabbat that says mechalei omot yumaat b'shar melachot chutz mi milah? Aval milah dachya. But milah is dochet to Shabbat. My time up. What's the reason? We don't have a limud yet. What's the reason that we give precedence to milah? Kal v'chomer. It's a kal v'chomer. It's a logical argument. Umat tzorat shedocha et adovodah. Tzorat disqualifies a kohen from doing avodah in the mikdash. V'avodah docha et Shabbat. And we know that avodah, the avodah of the kodeshim in the mikdash is docha Shabbat. We bring the korban musaf on Shabbat. We bring the korban tamid on Shabbat. The avodah on the mikdash is clearly docha et Shabbat. So milah docha uta. And we know that milah is docha Tzorat. So this is basically the transitive property of Docha, which is, I have Milah that overrides Tzorat. I have Tzorat that overrides Avoda. And I have Avoda that overrides Shabbat. So if I take the transitive property, that should say that if A is greater than B, B is greater than C, C is greater than D, then certainly A is greater than D. Milah clearly should be greater than Shabbat. Because Milah is Docha Tzorat, which we're going to learn in a second, that Milah overrides Tzorat. If there's a Baheret, a Tzorat, in the Makoma Milah, you still perform the Milah. And a Kohen who has Tzorat is disqualified from doing Avoda. And yet, avoda is dochat Shabbat. So milah certainly should be dochat Shabbat. Shnidchei b'pnei avoda, and udin shetei milah docha uta. So Gemara says, umay, how do you know that's true? Oeno da kamar hadar amar. So what is the oeno? The kamar, he says, maybe not. What's the maybe not? Hadamari mayde tzorat chamura. How do you know the reason that tzorat, it ruins the avoda is because tzorat is greater? What I said before is A is greater than B, B greater than C, C is greater than D. That creates this transitive property that tells you that A is greater than D, that milah overrides Shabbat. But how do you know the reason that tzorat overrides avoda is because tzorat is greater than avoda? But that may not be the case. Dilma, shechabat chamura, shekein yesh ba'un shim v'anzarot arbe. How do you know that tzorat is more chamur? Maybe Shabbat is more chamur, because it has all these punishments, punishment by death. Great, skila that are involved with it has all these warnings of lo tasu melacha in the Torah. Maybe Shabbat is more chamur. Well, if Shabbat is more chamur, then why does Tzorat override Avoda, and then Avoda override Shabbat? What happened to that limud? It says, "Umimai mishum de chamira tzarati, dilma mishum gavroho de lo chazi." How do you know that the reason tzarat overrides avoda and avoda overrides Shabbat is because tzarat is a higher level? Maybe the whole problem here is that he's a gavroho de lo chazi. He loses his shame kohen. When he has tzarat, the problem isn't that tzarat is greater than avoda, it's just that he's not a kohen when he has tzarat. Just like a kohen that doesn't wear the big day guna is not a kohen, so too a kohen that has tzarat is not a kohen. It's not because tzarat is more chamur. It's simply a technicality, which is a kohen who doesn't wear big day kahuna is not a kohen. We're not going to say then big day kahuna are greater than avoda. It's just that without the big day kahuna, he's not called a kohen. So to hear, an individual has tzorat is not called a kohen. So that's the problem here. Umani mikayem shimini imo chutz mi Shabbat. And therefore, I can't come to the conclusion that Shabbat should be nidchet mipnei amilah, because I don't know, even though milah is docha tzorat, I don't know the reason that Tzorat, quote-unquote, is greater than Shabbat is because it's really greater. It might be a technicality that Tzorat ruins the Goyen's ability to do Avodah, nothing to do with it being greater than Shabbat. If that's the case, I no longer have the transitive property to have Milah override Shabbat. So now I'm back to square one, which is I don't know which one trumps. Does Shabbat trump or Milah trump? And that's the conclusion. Talmud Omer Bayom Vafilu B'Shabbat. That's why we need a specific limud to teach us that Milah is greater than Shabbat. So that was the bright door, the way the bright door leads out. I had a Havamina that Milah should be greater than Shabbat through the transitive property. And the Gemara rejects that and says, maybe you're misunderstanding the reason for Tzorat overriding Avodah and overriding Shabbat It's not because Tzaraat is greater, it's a technicality. If that's the case, I can't learn any of this. Maybe it's the other way around. Shabbat overrides Milah because it's greater. It has more Azarot, more Onashim. So if that's the case, I have no conclusion. I can go either way. I can go either way, I don't know. What trumps? Shabbat, Milah? That's what the Brayta concludes at Amalomar Vayom HaShmini. Yom Afilu B'Shabbat. That's the logic or the flow of the Brayta. So Tanur Banan. We have another Brayta now, and again, the Gemara is going to dissect the Brayta. Tanur Banan, Mila docha tzarat ben bizmana ben shlo bizmana. Again, in the previous statement by Rova, we took that for granted that Mila overrides tzarat. Here, we have a statement that Mila overrides tzarat ben bizmana ben shlo bizmana. Whether you do a Mila on the eighth day, or whether you do it any other time when you're supposed to do it, it overrides the tzarat. On the other hand, Yom Tov enu docha ela bizmana biuvad. Then Mila only overrides Yom Tov when you do it on eighth day. It's not the eighth day, then it's not Docha et Yom Tov, it's not Docha to Shabbat either. Where do we know this from? You have to do the Mila. You have to cut off the Basar of the Orla. Even if there's a Baharat, even if there's a Nega there, you cut it off. Umani Mikayim, what am I going to do with the Pasuk of Ishamayr B'Nega Tzaraat, which is the restriction against removing Tzaraat from one's body? Bishar Mekol Mot, Chutz Mimila. That'll be talking about any other location on the body. You'll be restricted from removing the Tzaraat, except for the Makom HaMila. Oh, Enu Alafilu Mila. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe, when it says Hisham B'Negat Tzaraat, it means even when it's in the Mila. Umani Mikayim Mimol Basar Lato. So then what I do with Pasuk Vimol Basar Lato, Bizman She'in Baba Heret. As long as there's no Nega there. Tamad Omar Basar V'Afapi She'esham Baheret. We learn now from the word Basar that he does the Mila even though there is a Baheret there. Now Rova poses the same question again. Amar Rova, what happened in this Braita? The Braita had three stages here. Had a first stage where it said Milaz Docha et the Tzaraat. Second stage where, maybe not, maybe Tzaraat trumps Mila. In the third stage, we have a limud, a real limud that teaches that Mila is docha et the Tzaraat. So he wants to know what was going on in the Braita through these three stages. What was the Avamina? What was the question on that Avamina? And then the Maskana, which was that limud from the Pasuk. So Rava poses the question. And Haitana, Mikara, my Nechale, Ubasov, my Kashale. Why is he okay saying Mila is docha et Tzaraat up front? And then what question did he have that he pulled back from that and brought a limud. Hachi gamar imol b'sar lo to'af pishishem beret umani mekayim ishamar b'negat tzarat b'sharm mikomot chutz mimila. So I would say that mila overrides the tzarat because you'll do the mila even though there's a nega there, and ishamar b'negat tzarat will apply to any other area besides the mila. Aval mila docha et tzarat because mila overrides tzarat. My time. How do you know that? Achim ikav chomer. Same kav chomer that we used before. Ma Shabbat chamura mila docha uta. Shabbat that is chamur, we already know that mila overrides it. Tzarat lo kol shekein. Certainly it should override Tzaraat. And if Mila can override Shabbat, then certainly should be able to override Tzaraat. Shabbat is so chamur. If you can override Shabbat, you still can override Tzaraat. My O'eno de Kamar. But then why did he pull back from that? Why did he say that's not a good Kal v'chomer? Hadachamami, my de Shabbat chamira. How do you know that Shabbat is more chamur? Dilma Tzaraat chamira. Maybe Tzaraat is more chamur. How do I know that? Why would I think Tzaraat is more chamur? From the limud that we had at the top of the Amud, which is, Shekein dochet avoda avoda dochet Shabbat. Because we know that Tzaraat is Docha et the avodah. Kohen who has tzaraat as a nega may not perform avodah, and avodah is docha to Shabbat. So again, if I use that transitive property, if tzaraat trumps kohen avodah and avodah trumps Shabbat, then tzaraat trumps Shabbat. I mean, tzaraat is greater than Shabbat. So now I don't have an option. Tamalomar basar v'afopi sheisham baheret. So that's why I had the limud of basar to teach me that mila overrides tzaraat because I can't make it in a logical argument. What you have here is interesting. Rava is actually presenting both sides. In the first case, Rav presented the position that maybe Shabbat is more chamur, and the reason that Tzaraat undermines Avodah is not because it's more chamur, but simply because it's a gavra d'lachazi. Because he's ois kohen. When he had Tzaraat, he's not called a kohen. Then over here, he suggests the other way around. We suggest that maybe Shabbat is more chamur than Tzaraat. And then he says, no, maybe not. Maybe Tzaraat is not more chamur than Tzaraat. That Tzaraat is really more chamur. So he's rejecting with the opposite side. But the truth is, it's not that Rava necessarily has a strong opinion. Either way, the only thing he's pointing out is that you can't make the Kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer demands that the logic follows through. What Rav is pointing out is that you don't necessarily have the logic that you need. In each case, I can tell you that the logic could have been the other way. If it could have been, if it's an option to go the other way, then you can't make a Kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer says that this is the only way to learn it. And so Rav is, in each case, is presenting the other side, not because he believes that's right, but simply to show you that you can't make such a logical argument of a kal v'chomer. Lishna achrina, we have another attempt at this, which is mila duchat etzerat, my taima, ta'ati asay v'dachi lo tase. Because you have the asay of mila, comes and overrides the lo tase of yishamar b'neg etzerat. Because we have a principle. The principle is asay doche lo tase. So if I have an assay to do mila, velo to say not to remove a baheret and nega, assay dochelo to say, so the mila will override the tzarat. So that would be the havamina. Before we said that mila was a kavachomer. If mila is docha shabbat, it certainly should override tzarat. And the Gemara says you can't say that because maybe tzarat is more chamur. Now the Gemara says no, this was the havamina in the breita. The havamina in the breita was this. Assay dochelo to say. So my oeno, da kamar. So then why does the breita reject the fact that it's assay dochelo to say? Other kamar, that's only by lotase greda. That's only by a regular lotase. Haya seva lotasehu. Principle of asay docha lotase only applies when you have an asay, a positive commandment coming up against a lotase. Then it overrides it. But if you have an asay that's going up against an asay and a lotase, it's not docha. Like, for instance, by Shabbat. By Shabbat, you have a restriction against doing malacha. You also have a positive commandment to keep Shabbat. So since you have both a lota say, which means don't violate the Shabbat, don't do malacha, and you have a positive commandment to keep Shabbat, that type of lota say, you can't say asay docha lota say, because you have another asay there that says don't do it. Tosfot has two formulations of why it doesn't work. When you have an assay versus an assay and lota assay, he has two formulations why it doesn't work. Now, first of all, what is the assay and lota assay by Yitzhak? Rashi quotes, and Tosfot agrees, it says, Hishamer, which was what we quoted before, Hishamer b'neg etzerat, that's the lota assay. Hishamer means be careful. Careful means don't do this, don't remove the tzerat. Then the pasuk continues, it says, Lasot kol asher yaru, that you have to do everything that they teach, whatever the Kohanim say. So that's the assay. So by Tzarat, I have a lot assay, which means don't remove it. And I have an assay to listen to what you're supposed to do. So now I have an assay by Mila, and I want to put it up against the assay and lot assay of Tzarat. So why doesn't it work? So Tosafot has two formulations of why it doesn't work. One formulation is, it does work. The assay is doche the lot assay. So I have Mila, and Mila overrides the Shemer b'neg Tzarat. The only problem is, okay, I solved the problem of lota say, so the assay is still lota say, I still have an assay left. So I can't violate tzarat, not because there's a lota say there, but simply because the assay left afterwards. That's one possibility. The other way Tosafot formulates it is, that by the fact that it has an assay, teaches you that the lota say is not a simple lota say, it's a stronger lota say. The fact that the Torah associates an assay with this lota say makes it a powerful lota say. And the assay of Mila is no longer able to overcome the lota say because the assay by Tzarat tells me that the lota say by Tzarat is much stronger. We have that in other places. The Gemara says it by the lota say that involves karet, a lota say that involves something much stronger than a typical lotase, then we don't say asay docha lotase, because lotase is too strong. You can't overcome that by top of lotase, so that might be the explanation. There's a big nafkamina lalacha, which is what happens if you do it anyway. What happens if you do a mila, even when there's tzarat there? What are you in violation of? If you say that the first formulation that I said in Tosfot, that asay docha lotase, and all that's left is the asay of the tzarat, then you're in violation of an assay. That's it. On the other hand, if I say here that the assay is not docha lotase because the lotase is too strong, because the assay makes it a strong lotase, if you violate it, you do the milah, even though there's a nega there, you'll be in violation both of a lotase and an assay. There's enough gemina locha how you formulate this about why assay is not docha, assay and lotase. Or the other option where the possibility is that the assay disappears. For whatever reason the assay disappears, then maybe the assay would be docha lotase. If you say assay is docha lotase, just the assay is left over. But in a case, if you say the assay strengthens the lotase, then we would never say assay docha lotase. So there's a nafkamino between those two formulations. But one of those two applies here, which is that you have an assay mila, and have an assay lotase that applies to tzarat. So therefore, the writer rejected this idea that I could have learned it out from assay docha lotase. So then the Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, then I would think maybe you can only do a mila when there's no negets are out there. The Gemara says, tinach gadol. That works for a gadol because the basar is written in the pasuk when we're talking about someone who is above the age of bar mitzvah. Katan also, it says the word basar by him. So I have the word basar by a gadol, I have the word basar by a katan. Beinoni minolan. How do I know someone's in the middle? What's in the middle? Someone's over 8 days, but below the age of bar mitzvah. How do I know there that milah docha ta tzarat? Amrabai atim mi beinayo. Comes from a tzadah shaveh b'nehem. Emei matzinu. Mi gadol, the watcher, you can't learn it out directly from gadol shkenan osh karet. A gadol doesn't perform milah, it's chayav karet. A benoni is below the age of bar mitzvah, he's not chayav in karet. Mi katan lo watcher, kishken b'nilav zmano. Can't learn it out from a katan, because a katan has his meal on the eighth day when he's supposed to. This person's not. So the shavish ben, what's the common denominator between the gadol and the katan? Shkeni molim, v'dochim etzarat. They both get a mila, and zdochat zarat. Each chumrah that you have, the chumrah of a bar onshin by the gadol doesn't apply to a child who's getting a mila on the eighth day. Child's getting an eighth day, that doesn't apply to a gadol who's getting it much later. So their chumrot are wiped away when you put the two together. The common denominator between them is that it's dochat zarat, af kol shni molim dochim et zarat. So too, anybody gets a milah, override zarat. That is the din of this benoni. So now Rava Amar, mila bizmana docha, lo tzricha kra. Breita said before that mila bizmana is docha, both at zarat, and mila shlo bizmana is docha at zarat. So Rava says, I don't need the pasuk to teach me about mila bizmana. Mi kal v'chomer atyo. I can learn it out of a kal v'chomer. Ma shabbat chamira docha, mila that is docha shabbat, which is much more chamor, zarat lo koshkin, certainly she override Sarat. Amalei Rav Safra, the Rava. Rav Safra poses a question to Rava, the question that Rava posed above. Rava before said, how do you know that that's the logic over here? How do you know that Shabbat is more chamor than Tzarat? Maybe Tzarat is more chamor. Why? Because we know Tzarat is docha avodah, and avodah is docha at Shabbat. So how do you know that your argument is logical? Mimai de Shabbat chamira, tilma Tzarat chamira, shkein docha at avodah, avodah docha at Shabbat. Rava responds, imato la mishum de chamira Tzarat, a mishum de gavra de lo chozi. That reason is not because Tzarat is more chamor than Shabbat, but rather because the tzarat makes him not a kohen. It removes his shame kohen. It's a gavra that may not perform avodah. Am I? Why is that the case? V'kotz b'harto, v'avod. Cut off the nega, and then go do avodah. What's the problem here? You have an assay to do avodah, avodah assay to cut off the nega, cut it off. So why is he a gavra de lochazi? B'chusar tvilo. So Rava says, well, you're still missing tvilo. Even after you get the tzarat off, he still has to go to mikveh to be tahor. So he can't go do the avodah because he's still missing a piece of the puzzle. Gemara says, tinach nigayim tmeim. That's good if it's a nega tamei. So therefore, in order to retire himself, he has to go to the mikveh. Nigayim tihorim. What do you say about that? Ma'ika the meimar. Nega tahor. Once we declare it tahor, he doesn't have to go to the mikveh. Then why can't he just rip this nega off and he can go do avodah? Elam ravashi echa amrina da'ati asei v'docha lo tasei. This is a very important principle of an asei docha lo tasei. When do we say that? Kigon mila bitzarat. That is when you're doing a mila and tzarat. Inami tzitzit bikilayim. Or another example is right where tzitzit and has kilayim in it. Why? At the moment you violate the lo tasei, you're also mikayim the asei, which is very important. They have to be simultaneous. In order to override the lo tasei, you have to, at the moment you're doing the asei, override the lo tasei. If when you do the asei, you remove your violation of the asei, it happens simultaneous, then it makes it inevitable. It makes it that you have to do the asei and violate the lo tasei, because there's no other way around it. So there we say, asei docha lo tasei. On the other hand, the asei is only accomplished later, and the lo tasei is violated right away, then we're not going to allow you to do that. And that's the case here. Mila bitzarat, you cut off the orla. You accomplish the mila at the time you cut the orla. You also remove the tzarat at that time. Kilayim b'tzitzit. You put on tzitzit that have kilayim in them. The moment you're in violation of kilayim, which is when you wear them, you're also mikayim the mitzvah of tzitzit when you wear them. But that's not the case over here. Hocha be'idna demit akir lav lo mekam mukim asei. Over here, the kohen, when he rips the tzarat off his body, that's a lo tasei. Once he rips it off his body, he's not accomplishing the asei. He's just making himself ra'ui now to go do the avoda in the mikdash, to do the asei later. And that you can't do. Rashi rejects this possibility of the kohen ripping the tzarat off in order to accomplish the avoda, to make him ra'ui, not because it wouldn't make him ra'ui. The problem is simply that he can't do it. He doesn't have the dispensation to do it because he has a lo tasei stopping him. Just his shamer b'negat zarat. And his asei is not accomplished at the same moment that the lo tasei is violated. What's interesting here is Rava is the one that is making the comment or seems to have a strong position that Shabbat is more chamor than tzarat. Even though again above, Rava proposed the possibility that that guy is more chamor. Rava is the one who introduced the possibilities. Tosafot gives two answers to that. Either that when we said above it was Rava, it was really Rabba, and it wasn't Rava, so we don't have a stira. Or what I said to you before is that Rava above is just trying to undermine the Kal V'chomer. And therefore he's giving both options. He himself really believes that Shabbat is more chamur. He's just saying you can't make a logical argument that that's the case because there is another option. This machlok between Rav and Rav Safra is actually a machlok of Tanaim. The Tanya, we have a bright, the Pasar. Rabbi Yoshaya says you need the pasuk Basar to teach you, even though there's a Beheret there, you can cut it. Rabbi Yonatan Omer, Eino Tzarich, Shabbat Chamura Docha, Tzarat Lo Koshekein. The logic that Rabbi Yochanan introduced before. If Mila overrides Shabbat, which is more Chamur, then certainly it should override Tzarat, which is less Chamur. That's the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yoshaya is similar to the position of Rav Safra. Safra says, I can't learn like you, Rava, because maybe Tzarat is more Chamur. If I can't learn, if I have no argument, Tzarat could be more Chamur, Shabbat more Chamur, I have to go to a limud from the Pasuk, which I learned out of Basar Aloto. From the word Basar, it teaches me that it overrides, that Mila overrides Tzarat, and that'll be like the position of Rav Safra. Okay, we'll stop over here.